Thank you very much, Madam President, and I thank you for this opportunity given to us, colleagues from the EU and UNMISS and myself, to update the Security Council on the situation in South Sudan. Today's meeting is timely as we look ahead to the next round of peace talks at the High-Level Revitalization Forum in Addis Ababa. While I will essentially speak about key developments in the country since we last briefed the Security Council in March, it is paramount that I underscore to the Security Council that the peace process is at a critical juncture. Heading into the next round of the HLRF, the parties remain far apart on the critical issues of governance and security. The parties continue to argue over the ministerial quotas in any revised transitional governing arrangement, while agreement on the modalities of the peace, permanent ceasefire, and transitional security arrangements, including security arrangements for Juba and reform of the security sector, remain elusive. While IGAD has worked to try and narrow the gap in advance of the talks, which I'm sure Special Envoy Ambassador Weiss will tell us more about, the continued divergence in the positions of the parties was reinforced by government and opposition officials to Assistant Secretary General Keita, who just returned from South Sudan and Ethiopia. Madam President, while President Kiir and his government have repeatedly pledged to participate constructively in the HLRF, rhetoric around the unilateral extension of the transitional government of national unity mandate and preparation for subsequent elections should the HLRF fail to yield an quote-unquote acceptable solution is increasing. These were the messages given to Assistant Secretary General Keita while in Juba 3 weeks ago. Meanwhile, 2 weeks ago, the Transitional National Legislative Assembly was presented with a draft constitutional amendment bill which would incorporate the 2015 peace agreement into the transitional constitution, this at a time when the very agreement is under review at the HLRF. Finally, last week, the Sudan's People Liberation Movement, SPLM, held an extraordinary meeting of its National Liberation Council with the overall objective of advancing peace through the reunification of the SPLM and holding of elections. Several foreign dignitaries were also in attendance. While efforts aimed at the reunification of the SPLM are noteworthy, a unified and coordinated approach by all regional and international partners in support of an inclusive political initiative is critical at this juncture in the peace process. 2 weeks ago, I also met with Ambassador Francis Deng, a member of the National Dialogue Steering Committee, who was making rounds to brief on the progress of the national dialogue. Apparently, grassroots consultations have been completed, and next steps include the launching of a constitutional review process, which would incorporate the outcomes of the consultations and set the framework for elections. June 2018 was cited as the timeline for completion of this process. Concurrently, however, I had the opportunity to raise these developments with the visiting delegation of the South Sudan Council of Churches. In their estimation, the national dialogue has not been an inclusive process, with many South Sudanese constituents residing in largely opposition-controlled territories excluded from the local-level consultations. Moreover, the delegation was frank about the serious violation that both sides continued to commit against civilians and expressed concern at the steady deterioration of the humanitarian and economic situation in the country. The aim of grassroots consultation is laudable, but must be considered alongside other political processes and must be inclusive. At the moment, this is not the case, with the majority of opposition parties boycotting what they consider to be a flawed process. Madam President, it's our firm belief that the holding of elections in the current political, security, and humanitarian environment is unrealistic and would be counterproductive. As we are all aware, despite the signing of the cessation of hostilities agreement in December 2017, both the government and the opposition have remained bent on armed confrontation, controlling territory, and forcing civilian displacement. In this, it is always the civilians who suffer as they bear the brunt of the violence. It is especially disconcerting that between the adjournment of the HLRF talks in February and now, a period in which we would have expected the parties to reflect on what compromises could be made to end the violence in South Sudan and sow the seed of peace, military operations between the SPLA and the SPLA in opposition have escalated. The cessation of hostility shows no sign of meaningful implementation, and a ceasefire remains a distant prospect. We meet today on the heels of increased hostilities in unity between the SPLA and SPLA in opposition forces aimed at displacing population, securing hitherto opposition control areas and supplier routes between Bentiu and Lier. Reports indicate that the fighting, which resumed around the third week of April north of Mayandit and subsequently spread to areas north and southeast of Lier, has resulted in mass civilian displacement, including reports of civilians fleeing into the surrounding swamplands and into the temporary protection areas adjacent to the UNMISS temporary operating base in Lier to escape indiscriminated violence and the burning and looting of property. At present, there are 1,744 IDPs seeking refuge in the temporary protection area. UNMISS has recorded the SPLA mobilization of armored personnel carriers to clear the routes as well as hearing artillery fire. On the 26th of April, hostilities near Lier found the UNMISS temporary operating base subject to overhead fire. I should also add that amidst these increasing hostilities, humanitarian partners have been forced to evacuate from most of the affected areas, interrupting a range of activities, including health, education, nutrition, and water and sanitation for thousands of people. Against this marked deterioration of the security situation, SRSD Shera traveled to Lier last week and saw firsthand the devastating result of these clashes, including deserted villages, burned to coals, and ransacked health facilities, as well as civilians, including children, injured as a result of the fighting. During his mission to the affected areas, he met with both government and opposition cadres and urged the parties to respect the cessation of hostilities agreement and rein in their forces. In the meantime, the mission has dispatched a rapid investigation team from its human rights division to verify numerous reports of civilians being deliberately targeted by military forces allied to the SPLA and bands of youth during these operations, including being burnt alive into coals and pursued into the swamps. Insecurity has also increased in Jonglei, with the SPLA's successful resupply of its position in Wat and subsequent clashes in and around opposition control Akobo and Mvarens. Meanwhile, reports of clashes across parts of central Equatoria also continue. Madam President, let me add that here that sexual violence remains a prominent feature of the conflict. The UNMISS Human Rights Rapid Investigation Team deployed to document the impact of recent fighting in Unity, in Lier and in surrounding areas. They have received several disturbing accounts of conflict-related sexual violence, including rape of young girls and gang rape. These latest reports only compound what we already know to be a desperate situation for women and girls in South Sudan who continue to be the victims of appalling levels of violence. We must respond and respond quickly to ensure accountability for these violations and abuses and bring an end to these heinous acts once and for all. Meanwhile, the humanitarian situation continues to deteriorate as a direct result of the protracted conflict. Nearly 4.3 million people have been displaced to date, including 1.7 million internally and 2.5 million across borders. In March, UN agencies reported that conflict-induced displacement was worsening the country's already dire food security situation and anticipated that food security will continue to deteriorate with the upcoming lean season from May to July, likely the worst ever experienced in the country. Against this dire background, however, aid workers continue to be a target in this conflict. Since the crisis began in 2013, some 100 aid workers have been killed, with numerous others targeted for attack and kidnapping. This is simply unacceptable in a context where these very individuals are racing against time to save lives. Madam President, UNMISS continues its efforts to protect civilians through an expansion of its protection activities and is also working hand in hand with partners to respond to the worsening humanitarian situation, as well as supporting resilience and reconciliation efforts at the grassroots levels wherever possible. Success, however, is relative in this complex environment of active fighting and persistent insecurity. It is in this context that I reiterate that there must be a tangible cost for the continuation of violence in South Sudan. There must be consequences for blatant violations of the cessation of hostilities agreement and broken promises to protect civilians. As a first step in this direction, I encourage this Council to urge IGAD to make public the CITSAM ceasefire violations report. The mechanism is working to monitor and verify the reported violations, but these reports are yet to be published and deliberated on. Without consequences, we have no one to blame but ourselves for allowing the crisis to escalate unchecked and perpetuating a lack of confidence in a political solution to the crisis. Finally, Madam President, I also wish to urge the Security Council to use its voice to dispel this unhealthy narrative of regime change that some in South Sudan's leaders would like to use against the United Nations and the international community in a bid to win popular support. This narrative serves no one and only sows seeds of hate and paranoia in a country facing significant challenges and where localized violence is becoming endemic. Thank you, Madam President.
I think